following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Computer and printer. No hardware to buy, nothing to rent. You can print postage for all your letters and packages right from your desk. It's like having a post office in your home or office. I've been recommending Stamps.com to everybody I know. Right now, Stamps.com has a special offer, no risk trial, plus a $100 bonus offer, including $45 in free postage. That's more free postage if you use my name, Colin. Try Stamps.com today for a no risk trial, $100 bonus offer. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the radio microphone top of the homepage. Type in my name, Colin, Stamps.com, and be sure to use my name, Colin.
It's 11 o'clock.
It's time to play that real kick-ass open.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show with sports director Doug Duda.
Doug Duda with a sports update on ESPN.
Pick and roll, and Olmstead is wide open from Romy. And he's got him locked up, and he gets the pin. Michael Klingensmith gets past, knocked away by Ritschka. Jesse goes in for the layup, and it's up and in. And Ravenna's going to win state.
And Big Daddy Tony Davis.
It is now a new trophy. We have a new champion. A new champion is crowned.
Be big. I'll be big anyway. I don't know how much of a help I'll be.
This is so Apollo Creed and Rocky in the middle of the ring.
And now it's time for the best sports show in Central Nebraska.
I wouldn't go that far, Mayor.
It's the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Tuesday. It's press conference day in Lincoln. Bo Pelini will be on at the bottom of the hour. We'll hear what the coach has to say about where the team is right now and getting ready for their big road test at Texas A&M on Saturday. So we'll hear from the coach. Drew Schenick, the head coach and general manager of the Tri-City Storm, is going to join us in our next segment to talk about where the team has been. Tonight they've got a home game against Lincoln at 7:05. I can't think that there's anything else going on in the Tri-Cities, so that's the place to be tonight, even if it wasn't if there was a ton of stuff going on. So that's tonight at 7:05. We'll talk with the coach. Also, they've made some changes with their goalie. They've had some kids, more kids commit to college. We'll talk about all that. And they actually get to play hockey this week, three games this week tonight and two on the road this weekend. Then they come home for a six-game homestand over about the next month of time on the calendar. So that's coming up on the show, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. And how'd you do in your picks this weekend? Because that's kind of where we left off yesterday.
We're going to get to it.
Oh, not yet, though?
Well, I first of all want to say that I'm so excited for this press conference today. He's going to clear that quarterback situation up. We're going to know exactly who's ready to go on Saturday, and that'll all be taken care of with about the first three questions. I'm really looking forward to that.
Coach, do you know who Ron Kellogg is?
Have you ever? Would you see him in the hallway? Do you recognize him?
And don't forget to fire off your Doug and Daddy You Can't Fix Stupid Sports themes for a chance to win front row tickets to Friday night's Ron White concert at the Viero Event Center. Just shoot us an email, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. Put the word stupid in the subject line and then vent about something stupid you'd like to fix. The best entries will become finalists. We'll draw Thursday for a pair of front row seats to the Friday night show at the Viero Event Center. So send us your emails. We've got a lot of good ones already. We could always use more. douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. High school football playoffs continue today. We'll talk about what happened last night in a little bit, but let's get to your picks. We did defeat the caller
Howard
this week. Howard went down. Howard.
And then it's over.
He's the super. Howard's the super in the building. He's retiring. We're going to throw a party for Howard.
Sorry, Howard.
Go ahead.
Enjoy the beatdown.
It was
a beatdown for me. Yeah, speaking of beatdowns, 1-4 in the college action. South Florida, the only winner there. Alabama crushed Mississippi State. North Carolina State put a beatdown on Wake Forest. Missouri had the game basically was 38-14, and then all of a sudden 20 unanswered. From those chumps from Kansas State. They come back and cover that one, and then Utah. Yuck. Notre Dame, a woodshed against Utah. 1-4. Then, you know, we go for redemption on Sunday like we normally do. We double up when we're behind, so that's the good news. We would have hit all three, or at least had 2-0-1, because we get the Jets and Cleveland going to overtime. And then, of course, with 19 seconds left, why don't you score a touchdown when two people can't tackle somebody and bring them down at the 10-yard line so we can get a push out of that? We have our two wins, the Texans and the Titans. We have the Jaguars, the Texans and the Titans. Excuse me. We had the opposite sides of those games, including the Jaguars and Miami at home. And if I'd have known Tyler Thigpen, this would have been a triple star play of the year. If Tyler Thigpen plays, I love Miami Dolphins. That's a quality quarterback in the NFL. The Jaguars, we get out of there with a Hail Mary pass, with luck on our side, Miami, and then we lose the Cleveland game because, well, we can't tackle.
So after going 12-3, a 3-5 weekend for the Daddy.
3-5. You know, we'll throw the Nebraska-Kansas game in there to go 4-5 on the weekend because we count the Nebraska losers, don't we, Merritt?
Yes, sir.
So that's only a 4-5 weekend.
So you won the Nebraska game?
Yeah, I love, you know, 38 points, a lot of points.
Way too many.
2.5 right now, the Nebraska line across the board when I looked this morning. 2.5 everywhere.
Uh-oh. That's not good. It's not good, Husker fans. Vegas usually knows,
yeah.
Except against Washington. They didn't know there. Or Iowa State, they didn't know there.
Yeah. Okay, Doug. I've talked to people. People keep calling me about, and I know you want to get back to, people want a clarification, and people that haven't heard, word is getting around. They want to hear from us about last night, what happened at the end of the Overton game.
We promised that what happened on the way home, we weren't going to talk about in public. It was traumatic.
Well, you're going to brag about that later.
You got me in just places I didn't want to be.
No, I didn't. So explain to the folks out there, because you had the one of the better calls. I've had a lot of compliments on your call last night, by the way, of what happened.
Okay, the long and the short of it is this game is down to the final 2 minutes. Creighton scores. We're tied at 14. On 4th and 5, they hit a touchdown pass to go up 20-14. They elect to go for two. They barely make it in. Always some contention whether the run was in for two or not, but it counted, and it's 22-14. And good kick, as it was all night, from Creighton. They knew how to kind of lay it in there and really hurt Overton on kick returns all day long. So Overton started at their own 10-yard line, had all three timeouts, minute 47. They marched down the field, a couple of little runs, but a good assortment of short dump-off passes to Weiss and especially to Olmstead. And then they get down and hit a 21-yard touchdown pass with 26 seconds to go. Brady Weiss barely wide open in the corner of the
weird
end zone. Got
coverage.
By the coverage. So they have to go for two, all right? And they call their final timeout to go for two.
26
seconds. I guess they wasn't their final, but they call their timeout with 26 seconds. Have to go for two to try and tie it. 8-man game. They spread the field kind of like they'd been doing most of the second half. Quarterback Jacob Jensen's in the shotgun. He's got two men wide to the right. He's got two out to the left side. And we kind of mentioned, beware of that quarterback sneak, the quarterback draw. And that's exactly what it was. I mean, on the snap, Jensen went straight ahead, no juking, no faking. But a good job by the defensive line of Creighton. It stood him up basically right at the line of scrimmage. You know, you start at the 2.5-yard line, and he gets to maybe the two. He tries to stretch the ball towards the goal line. He's getting his arm shoved by the defensive line. He knows he's not going to get in, so he just hurls it back to his left.
I still say threw it over his head behind his back.
That doesn't
whatever.
Matter. Who's telling the story here?
Yeah.
Does it matter? He chucks the ball into the air, which is caught by Michael Renderos, who's kind of all by himself out there on the left side, and he walks into the end zone. The official goes, good? And then the conference of officials comes together, and about 15 seconds later, here come two penalty flags out, ruling that it's an illegal forward pass, that Jensen threw the ball forward and not backwards. And then there was a long discussion, and of course, I mean, as long as they got it right, and officially I'm not sure that we know that they got it right. We think they got it right. Most people believe that the officials eventually got it right. First, they said, okay, illegal forward pass, it's loss of down. Creighton declines it because then there's no try again, and we line up for an onside kick. Well, on the Overton sideline, they thought that the official had said that the pass was incomplete, which the official then told Glenn Snodgrass, yeah, the pass was incomplete, which then really changed things up because, no, the pass or the lateral or whatever it was caught out of the air and was complete. And so then the head referee was told that and said, okay, well, now we will retry the point with the 5 or 10 yard penalty, 5 yard penalty, because they were standing at the 7 the whole time. Well, then the Creighton coaches got involved and said, well, that's not right. It's a loss of down. You wouldn't get a retry. So about 3/4 of this whole time was the confusion and the miscommunication between the referee saying that there was a declined penalty and an incomplete pass. He messed that part up, but got it right. So the bottom line is, it was ruled that the ball was thrown forward. Thus, it's an illegal forward pass. Thus, no extra try. Conversion no good. Overton onside kick. They can't cover it. Went right into the hands of a Creighton player. Creighton snaps it twice, and this ball game is over. And it's 22-20, and Creighton goes to the state championship to play West Point Central Catholic. That's what happened. And I think it was the right call.
Once one of his toes crosses into the neutral zone, he cannot pass it forward. That is the rule. It's different in the NFL. His toe, as long as he doesn't step across the, you know, his foot can be in the air.
Your whole body has to be across the line of scrimmage
in the NFL
for that to happen.
In the high school game, it is one toe has to be in the neutral zone.
So that's what happened last night, and those two teams will advance on. And then in D2, Sargent defeats Mullen again, and again Howells finds ways. The very few close games that they have end up not being close at the end. Giltner's ahead 20-12 with under 2 minutes to go in the first half. Howells sticks it in, ties it at half, and then outscores Giltner 20-0 in the second half. Howells wins 40-20, so Howells and Sargent, the first state championship game next Monday here on ESPN. That's at 10:15, 2:45. Creighton will play West Point Central Catholic, then Millard North and Millard South in the Class A final at 7 o'clock on, or 7:15 on Monday night. Then it's C2, C1, and B 1 week from today. All 6 championship games right here on ESPN. And today, Hastings St. Cecilia at North Platte St. Pat's, kickoff at 4, and that will be on KHAS, 12:30 a.m. Buck chimes into the Dent Popper inbox. The more I watch football, the more I know. If my fat guys are beating your fat guys, I'm winning. Sorry, you pretty boy quarterbacks. And Michael Vick, who said he couldn't play ball. Really? People, really? Drew Schenick, the head coach of the Tri-City Storm, going to join us here in just a moment. We'll chat with him after this.
For the past year, men all over the country have been seeing results with the Charger Pack. That's why Complete Nutrition is excited to announce that during the entire month of November, the Charger Pack is 25% off. Formulated for men over 30, the Charger Pack recharges your natural testosterone levels back to when you were young and peaking physically. The result is a leaner, meaner core, a naturally increased sex drive, and an adolescent supply of energy and stamina. So if you're a man over 30 looking to build lean muscle and replenish your energy levels, there's never been a better time to try the Charger Pack. This offer is only available for the month of November, so get to Complete Nutrition and get your 25% off Charger Pack today.
Complete Nutrition is located in Kearney at 41st and 2nd Avenue north of Sunmark. For more information, call 338-1-5. That's 338-1348, or on the web at CompleteNutrition.com.
Complete Nutrition.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuhl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuhl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Fredericks and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
Here's a look at our Tuesday's forecast as we get on throughout this afternoon, calling for that blend of sun and clouds to develop. We'll also have a slight chance for an isolated rain shower to develop late, high near 52 degrees. For tonight, low in the middle 30s, currently 43.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Bo Pelini's press conference coming up towards the bottom of the hour, just after 11:30. We'll have all the comments from the head coach as they get ready. Can you believe there's only two games left? Then hopefully a Big 12 and the bowl game. So there's four, but I mean, two games of the regular season. It seemed to move by real quick in Class C. Here's what we have today. Ogallala is at Pierce at 2:30. Norfolk Catholic is at Milford at 6, and in C2, St. Cecilia's at North Platte, St. Pat's at 4, Aquinas is at Fremont Bergen at 6:30. UNK head volleyball coach Rick Squire is going to join us on the show tomorrow, officially announcing the names of four high school seniors who will join the Lopers next year, including Central Catholic's Liz McGowan and Lauren Wagner of Alma. We'll talk with the coach about that tomorrow. Don't forget, we're at the Midtown Event Center for our Husker Lunch. Steve Sipple joined us to break down last week and tell you all about Texas A&M and answer all of your questions. The UNK football team finished 19th of the Division II coaches poll regular season. Some former head coaches, former coaches at UNK that were running Western State were dismissed yesterday. Head coach Pat Stewart, offensive coordinator C.J. Tepley, and offensive line coach David Pena will not return to Western State. And they gave the Lopers, I think, some of it familiarity, some of it injuries on UNK's side, but they gave them one of their tougher games of the year.
Yeah, disappointing for those guys, though. They were with the Kearney staff for some of them quite some time, so I know still some relationships up there with those fellas.
Hastings linebacker Brian Callen in the final week of the season named the GPAC Defensive Player of the Week. Also in volleyball, Nebraska ranked 5th. They take on Oklahoma tomorrow. And what other sport could this possibly happen in? NCAA, get it together. Division II poll. UNK is 10th again this week. The first match that they play in the NCAA tournament is against 7th-ranked Minnesota Duluth. That can't, tell me if I'm wrong, that can't happen in any other sport. What in the hell are they doing?
Doug, it'll go back to all those region teams are ranked. We said yesterday the region will be tougher than the Elite Eight. If you're able to survive, it will be tougher.
Okay, here's what you got. In the region, the top seed is Southwest Minnesota State. They're ranked 4th in the country. Concordia St. Paul, the second seed, is number 1 in the country, the 3-time defending champion. Wayne State, the third seed, is 3rd in the country. UNK, 4th seed, they are 10th in the country. Minnesota Duluth, 5th seed, they are 7th in the country. Metro State, 6th seed, they are 13th in the country. Minnesota State is the 7th seed in the regional. They are ranked 16th in the country. I mean, how drunk do you got to be not to fix this? I mean, you got to be worse than that. You got to be high. You got to be out of it. You just got out of a coma. I mean, what kind of idiots run this stuff? It is just idiotic. Why? Who cares? Let's send them to the festival in Louisville, Kentucky, which nobody went to. Just unreal. Nebraska men's basketball team rolled Arkansas Pine Bluff 83-40 last night. Drake Baronic had 11 minutes, 2 points. Last night for the Huskers. UNK women fall to 0-2, lost at Northwest Missouri State 81-75. The UNK men open their season tonight when they go to Doan. The Hastings men are at Sterling, Kansas tonight. Jordan Hooper named the Big 12 Freshman of the Week. And Hastings College men's soccer sweeps all the major awards. Yannick Teal, the Offensive Player of the Year. Derek Prince, the Defensive Player of the Year. Chris Crank, the Coach of the Year on the men's side.
All kinds
of postseason awards coming out. And, folks, don't forget, the 25th Annual Fellowship of Christian Athletes Sports Banquet is tonight at the Heartland Events Center in Grand Island. This year's banquet will feature Olympic marathon runner and one of the top distance runners in the country, Ryan Hall, Husker football player Rex Burkhead, and soccer player Anna White, among those speaking tonight at the Heartland Events Center. That's going on in Grand Island. But also, Storm hockey going on tonight, Daddy. And if you're going to that, why not pregame a little?
Well, chicken coop. And if you're going over to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes deal in Grand Island, you got chicken coop there because it's regular bone-in chicken wing night for only 40 cents. These are the Big Daddy chicken wings, larger than ever. Tuesday nights, 40 cents, and choose from any of the 13 wing flavors they offer from 5 to 10 tonight. Kearney, is where it's at, folks. I'm telling you right now, the Chicken Coop is where it's at. 15 high-definition TVs away. They're not a bad seat in the house. Great food and drink specials every night of the week.
Burgers, pizza, salads, or the wings,
chicken
or the
tender
pizza.
Hoagies.
There you go, folks.
Ribs, steaks, they've got it all. Chicken Coop.
Coming up, Bo Pelini's press conference. I had a chance to catch up a few minutes ago with Drew Shenick because they are in practice, so caught up a few minutes ago with the head coach of the Tri-City Storm. Tri-City Storm home tonight, taking on the Lincoln Stars. We're going to talk with Coach Drew Shenick here in just a second. The Storm had a four-game winning streak in Lincoln, snapped over the weekend, so this is back-to-back games against Lincoln. Plus, some kids are headed to college. There's always some new guys coming in and playing for the Storm, and head coach and general manager of the Tri-City Storm, Drew Shenick, joins us this morning. Coach, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, it's great to have you back on the Doug and Daddy Show in a midweek game, especially with not anything else going on in the area. It looks like it should be a great night for the fans to come out against a rival team like Lincoln, make some noise, have some fun. And I know the team's ready to get another shot here at Lincoln.
Well, we are. Obviously, we're a little disappointed with not getting the win there on Friday. But, you know, that's hockey, and, you know, we get another chance at the same team here tonight. And it's our building. So, you know, I look forward to, you know, having a better result here tonight.
Drew, how would you, or what kind of team do you say Lincoln has? You've got a chance to see them now a couple of times, and obviously they're trying to pick themselves up off the doormat that they were last year.
Well, you know what? They're the team very similar to us. I think they're a little bit bigger in stature than we are, but, you know, they work very hard. They come after you on the forecheck, and again, they've got really solid goaltending. So, you know, they're a much improved hockey team over what they had last year, And it's showing. They're on a four-game winning streak right now, and it's our job to make sure we hold that.
Drew Shenick, the head coach of the Tri-City Storm, joining us. Was there something that went wrong in the game on Friday that you hadn't seen this year, or was it just one of those games you couldn't find the back of the net?
Yeah, you know what? I think it was just one of those games. You look at the first period, we gave up a shorthanded goal, and the ice kind of got tilted, but the final two periods, we outshoot them 30-15, And really, we had some really good opportunities to score. We just couldn't find the back of the net. So, again, I think it was just one of those games. But you got to give them credit. They played hard, and their goaltender was good when he needed to be.
Drew, a couple of things have happened. At least a couple of things have happened since we last chatted. You bring in a new goalie, and then you officially name a goalie coach. Is this hand-in-hand type of deal?
Well, no, Dave's been kind of with us. Dave Rogalski, our goalie coach, has been kind of with us, since the start. But, again, we made it official here over his last visit. And, you know, he's a young guy out of Minnesota that has tremendous experience working with goaltenders. And I feel that, you know, that's one of the areas that often gets overlooked on a hockey team is having a goaltender coach and having somebody that the goaltenders can work with and can phone and rely on. And again, as coaches, I've never played the position, and neither either of my assistants. So it's tough for us to venture and say, "Hey, you're not, you know, holding your glove in the right position or whatever." Our only mandate to the goalies is stop the darn puck. So again, they've got lots of technical things that need to be fixed and tweaked, and having a quality goaltender coach like Dave certainly is an advantage for us.
And then you made a trade with Omaha to bring in Chris Holden. Tell me a little bit about him and how he will work into the mix.
Well, you know, he's a 20-year-old guy that Omaha had at the start of the year and decided to make a goaltender change and where they got another 20-year-old in. But, having seen Chris's resume and what he's done in Canadian Major Junior and then the type of player that he is, what we felt was, you know, a bit of an upgrade in our goaltending position you can't win without good goaltending. And I think Chris has fit in very well. He's going to be a guy that, along with Scott Diebold, I think gives us a great 1-2 punch in net. And either guy that we decide to play is going to give us a chance to win.
Who's going to be in goal tonight?
We are going to go back with Chris Holden here tonight. I thought he played very well in Lincoln, albeit the score reflected. But, you know, it was a couple of weird goals. We had a goal scored on our own net to give them their third goal. And their second goal is a bit of a funny bouncer. So, again, it certainly wasn't his fault that we lost the game.
General manager and head coach of the Tri-City Storm, Drew Shenick, is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. 7:05 tonight, they take on Lincoln at the Viero Event Center. Coach, when you bring a 20-year-old, it would have seemed like covering the hockey team here for the last decade that, I don't know, that quick fix is the term you want to use, but that's kind of what it is. You needed something immediately.
Well, we did. And, you know, with the emergence of Scotty Diebold, you know, as the backup, and he's played very well, you know, we wanted to have an older guy to mentor him. And you know, we don't want to, you know, put Scotty in some bad positions where, you know, leading up to next year, he loses his confidence. We want to make sure that Scotty's, you know, seeing the right amount of shots, playing the right amount of games so that next year, you know, he's able to step in with that confidence to be our starter. And that's kind of how we wanted it to be this year when Steven was here. But again, we, you know, we feel that, you know, Chris is going to, you know, add a leadership element for us and also help mentor Scotty and Chris Eiserman, who's still here with us, into being how they have to, you know, how hard they have to work and what it's going to take to be a starting goaltender at this level.
And, Drew, finally, you guys get to play some hockey. Three games this week after tonight. You got two on the road this weekend. Is this the point where we finally just kind of get into the season? This seems strange from the schedules in the past. It used to be when you played, it was almost always a Friday-Saturday deal. And if you didn't play Friday or Saturday, you had a Tuesday game. But you guys have had a couple of weeks with just one game, and I'm sure the guys are tired of practicing.
Well, they are, and it's, you know, it's a funny quirk in the schedule. But, you know, you look through October, and, you know, there was lots of teams that, you know, I think Omaha played, you know, one game on three consecutive weekends. So again, it's you know, teams are catching up to us in games played, but it's nice to play games. You can work on, you know, stuff in practice, but you have to apply it in games, and you have to see how it's going to work in games. And I think, you know, with our guys, it's finally time to get back at it. Now, you know, from here on in, it's, you know, you're playing every weekend or three times a week, and that's kind of, you know, we're going to start entering the, you know, the hard part of our schedule. And, you know, after Christmas, it gets even a little bit more hectic for us. So this is going to be, you know, a good test for us here to kind of get the engines revved up again and make that push into the Christmas.
Head to Waterloo and Sioux Falls this weekend, and then you come home for the longest homestand of the season when you'll play six games between Thanksgiving and December 11th, which, of course, a lot of folks know is going to be the televised game. A lot of folks are getting fired up for that. How important is it to have a good week that could set up a heck of a run here once you get home?
Well, you know, it's always important, and you know, I think this year, and we've talked about it on the show before, you know, just looking at the scores around the league, everybody's beatable this year. There's no real, you know, strong team. I think there's a lot of strong teams, but there's no dominant teams. And you know, again, you can set yourself up, you know, for a tremendous streak one way or the other. And we want to make sure it's a winning streak here. And we want to make sure that we put our best foot forward against the Stars and then, you know, worry about the weekend games then. But again, when you've got the opportunity here to string some wins together, and especially at home, you want to make sure you win your home games, and you want to go on the road and play better than .500. And if you do that, you're going to have a successful year.
Just another minute here with Drew Shinnick, the head coach and general manager of the Tri-City Storm. Following up on that just a little bit, Coach, we always like to get the opinion of the guys that are watching the league here. Has anything made you raise your eyebrows? Somebody not off to the start you thought, or somebody really surprising here in the first 6 weeks?
Well, you know, no, not really. Like, you know, we knew as a staff that, you know, the teams that were bad last year, Youngstown, and you know, I mean, they were bad in record. They weren't necessarily bad teams, but Youngstown and Lincoln are much improved. You know, everybody else has stayed the same. Again, there's no, you know, Omaha's or Green Bay's or Fargo's were their dominant teams. So again, it's back to anybody can beat anybody on any given night, and it's going to be who plays the hardest and who can stay the healthiest here that's going to come through. But I don't think there's any real surprises, you know, looking up and down. I think the one thing that, you know, I will note that might be a bit of a surprise is, you know, some teams are 15 games in, so I'll say we're 15 games into the season, and we've got an expansion team winning our league right now in points. And you very rarely see that happen, you know, in any league, whether it's hockey or football or baseball. And you know, it just goes to show the parity of the league.
Finally, Drew, Simon Dennis has committed here to Ferris State, and we get these releases and commitments from time to time. Right now, 11 of your players are committed to Division I schools, and I know that that has always been a big part of what goes on at Tri-City. Just kind of talk about something that maybe isn't out there in the public eye all the time. That's something you guys always are working on to get these kids in the right place once they leave the Storm.
Well, and that's exactly it, and that's why this league exists is, you know, we're the number one feeder to the U.S. College Division I hockey programs, and that's how we can attract some of the best players from around the world to come and play here. And Simone's just another guy that, you know, again, that has had a good start for us, and his efforts have been recognized by one of those programs in Ferris State. And, And again, it's our goal not only, you know, here as an organization to win hockey games and win championships, but it's to develop these young guys for the next level, which is college hockey and beyond. And you know, it's special to us to have, you know, our players commit during the year, because that shows A, that they're playing well, and B, that we're doing our jobs for them. That's one of the things that, you know, that we want to make sure is that all our players are getting the proper exposure here to move on to the next level.
Now, Coach, admit it. When they play the Cotton Eye Joe, you're looking in the stands to see who's dancing, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's one of the most entertaining things. I've seen buildings where, you know, the Cotton Eye Joe goes and all the little kids take their shirt off and swing it around. So, you know, I mean, you got to have a little fun when you're at the hockey game, too.
We just try to convince Daddy not to do that when the Cotton Eye Joe is playing.
I try not to do that either.
Now, last question. We'll let you get off to practice here. I'm going to be up there around Skip here a couple of times getting some radio pointers before he does the TV game next month. What's the most important thing I need to know?
The most important thing you need to know is that the hockey game is different when you're watching it than the people on the radio. So if you're describing defensive end, it's left and right is different when they switch ends. So, you know, again, it's a little bit harder to track hockey than it is maybe football or baseball, I think.
Well, I'll get my head slapped around a little bit as we continue to learn this sport. Hey, Drew, we'll let you get off to practice, and we'll see you tonight. Good luck.
All right, thanks very much.
Thanks, Drew. Drew Shinnick had a chance to chat with him just a little bit ago, and they play tonight at 7:05. And Bo Pelini has come up to the podium, so let's go to Lincoln for Bo Pelini's weekly press conference.
Disciplined. I think they make really good, you know, I think the quarterbacks makes good decisions, and they have good talent, good skilled people. So it'll be it's a very well thought out offense, and they stress you in a lot of different ways.
Different are they with Tannehill, a quarterback, kind of strong offensive wins here with him in there under center?
Well, I just think he's been decisive. He's playing well. He's doing a good job. They've done a good job coaching him and getting him prepared. And I don't think that, you know, the offense hasn't changed a whole heck of a lot. I just think they're executing at a little bit higher level right now.
I always hear the word decisive with Tannehill. What do you mean?
He just makes good reads. I think he understands the offense. He understands where to go with the ball. I just think he does a good job running the offense.
Hey, Bo, not specifically about your comment, but I just want to ask, is there any risk for a coach to risk a disconnect with the fans in a place like Nebraska?
I don't think that deserves a disconnect with the fans. It was just an observation.
Pretty proud fan base.
They should be. They're good fans.
Well, is it?
I don't get disgruntled when people criticize me. You know what I mean? Huh?
Never?
I could care less.
What was your opinion? Is it, I mean, when fans come to the stadium on Saturday night, is it, you know, incumbent upon them to bring their own atmosphere, or should they be sort of waiting for what happens on the field?
Everybody feels a little different about that. I'm not talking about that anymore. Let's talk about, I'm here to talk about Texas A&M.
Their run defense is number one, well, with the Big 12 right now. What have they done? I mean, the new coordinators, what have they done on defense?
They play hard. They're talented. They fly around. I think they play really aggressively, and I think that's the key to playing great defense. Is you have to fly around. You got to play hard, and they're doing that, and they're aggressive, and they execute well.
You guys were able to get to quarterback against Kansas. I mean, how key is that going to be getting to Tannehill?
Well, it's always a key. You know, you want to get after the quarterback and make him uncomfortable and try and dictate to them. You know, they do a good job. Like I said, I think what they do well is they have a good balance in their offense. You know, they think they do a good job of self-scouting themselves and stress you in a number of different ways. They don't put him in a, he doesn't get into a ton of third and real long situations, and and that helps you to manage the game a little bit better from a quarterback position, and it makes it harder to get after him. But they do a good job of protecting him, and we gotta, obviously you want to do, you gotta do a good job of making them uncomfortable, and that's changing up your looks a little bit and mixing your defenses and make him feel the pressure in the pocket.
How much do you emphasize this week that the North is there for the taking with the win?
We don't even talk about it. That all takes care of itself in time. All we're concerned with is playing the best football we can Saturday, and that's just part of it. It comes with it, and I'm sure that I haven't talked about it with the team, and I won't. And I'm sure they understand it's out there, but we got plenty to be motivated by. Beyond that,
you have plenty beyond the Big 12 North.
Huh?
What do you mean you have plenty
beyond the motivation? Well, the number one motivation we try to put on our football team is to get better each week and to keep getting better as a football team each and every day, and living in the moment. I just believe all those other things, everything else that comes with it comes in time. It comes if you put your work in and you do you play the way you've been coached, you keep improving as a football team, you win football games, and the other aspect of it comes with it. And you just can't jump ahead.
Did you see your football team improving?
Yeah. I think we're getting better in a lot of different ways. And But I think there's a lot of room for improvement, yeah.
Not so much wins and losses, Bo, but has this team become what you thought it would be, or developed the way you thought it would be, if you flash back about 3 months?
It's coming. Wish we were when. Wish we had one more win than we have right now.
But in terms of advancing, or I know you never want to, you always say not the finished product, but if you kind of pointed the same way all year, you think?
Yeah, I think we're getting better. I think that we've improved in some areas we needed to improve in. There's some other areas I look at it from a coach's standpoint. There's always things you can get better at. And I still think there's a lot out there for this football team, a lot to improve upon. I think we've gotten better in some areas we needed to get better at, because some of the guys that didn't have experience going in have grown and gotten better. And I always wish, I'd be a little disappointed at times in our, throughout the year, I think we got to fix some of the things, our consistency.
Where haven't you gotten better, do you think, if you nail a couple of things specifically?
I don't know. The ball security bothers me. Some of the unnecessary penalties have bothered me, and probably our consistency at times. But, it's a fight year, week in and week out, to keep improving and keep getting better.
You guys lead the nation in fumbles right now. Have you been able to put a finger on what the biggest issue is in that area?
No, not really. We emphasize it, we drill it, and you got to take it to the field. I thought, we went a couple weeks there where it really dramatically improved. I thought our execution improved. And then it kind of creeped up and the other day again. And just keep talking about it and keep working it. Some of those things have been exchange problems out of the gun, in some of the read game that comes with experience. But, it's an area we have to continue to clean up.
Well, Austin Cassidy started the last 3 years for you. Now, can you just talk about what you see from him?
Excuse me.
Austin Cassidy started the last 3 years. Can you talk about what you see from him out there?
Oh, he's played good football. He's smart. He's tackled well. He's really just taken to the practice field. He's prepared himself well, and he's taken it to the game on Saturday. And he's played good football for us. He's made a lot of plays, and I think he's only scratched the surface of what he's going to become. He's continuing to improve, and I think when you get in there and every time you start, every time you walk out there, I think his confidence has grown, because he's He's playing well. And I think he's developing a, you know, it's one thing to do it in practice, another thing to go out there when it's happening for real and be able to execute, and you grow through that process. And I think that Austin's done that.
Well, what kind of memories do you have of the environment playing at A&M when you were at OU in 04, just the atmosphere that's around Kyle Field?
It's a great environment for college football. It's loud, and it's a really good environment. Fans are into it.
I don't know if you got the opportunity to really get a sense of, you know, how they support football there. You feel like there's some similarities between Aggie fans and Husker fans, and just kind of the culture around their programs?
Our fans are better than the Aggie fans. They got a good culture around their program. They support it well. And they're into it. It's a unique environment. You know, I don't know what they call that. You know, they have some kind of thing, I understand, on Friday night or like cheer practice or whatever. So, you know, there's certain unique traditions with every program and and I think they have their own, and I think they do a good job with it.
Think Nebraska needs cheer practice?
I got enough to worry about on my own.
How important was it to get Taylor reps last week, knowing that he's going into this hostile environment?
I thought it was big. You know, you didn't want him to be sitting for 2 weeks. And I thought what happened is, you know, we were a little guarded with Taylor early in the game. And I think Taylor was a little bit guarded. I mean, you know, he wasn't sure where he was going to be. And I thought as the game went on, he grew more confident, which obviously was big key. We didn't want to sit him for 2 weeks, and then, I thought it was important for him to get reps. That's one of the main reason why he was in at the end of the football game, was to continue to get him some more reps he hasn't played a ton of football. I mean, this is only his first year, so you miss a week, you're going to be a little rusty, and I think that was part of the deal.
Well, you said a little bit ago, you wish you had one more win. Is it tough the way the season's played out to not look back at that Texas game and replay it in your head?
I really don't look back. It's about looking forward and continue. I look back for like one day, and then it's time to move on and continue to move forward and keep getting better. And no, I mean, that's the furthest thing from my mind right now is what happened a month ago or whatever, however long that was. But, you look back when the season's over and you might, to learn from what's happened, and hopefully we've already done that and be able to progress and move forward.
Taylor said on Saturday that he was glad to get back in the game because it's his team and no one else's. Do you like seeing that kind of ownership from a quarterback, or did he mean something else?
I don't know what he meant. I didn't hear the comment, but that's the type of attitude every guy should have. You hope that's the attitude across the board on your football team.
You ran some more Wildcat against Kansas. How much pressure does Rex Burkhead take off of Taylor when he's able to get in there and run that Wildcat?
That's just another piece of the puzzle, another thing that people have to prepare for, and I think Rex does it well. I don't think we executed it as well in the last game as we have, and it's all, part of the puzzle.
You have a number of players from the state of Texas. Along the way, they grew up not too far from College Station. So what has it meant to your program?
Alonzo's, continues to get better. He's getting, he's improving. He's a good football player. And I just think that, we needed some guys to step up. And once a couple of the injuries happened, I think he's done that, and I think he's improving. And as long as he just needs to keep continuing on the road that he's on, because I see him getting better every single day.
Will it be harder to recruit Texas now that you're not going to be playing games down
there? No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the time will tell on that, but we've had good reception down in Texas, so you hope to continue the relationships that you've had. And obviously, you know, you got to ask me that a couple years down the road here, you know, because I think there's a lot of unknowns as to how the move will affect you in a number of different ways.
When you recruited kids there from the past, was being able to sell them on, we're going back down there at least once a year, a big drawing point for them to come to?
Somewhat, but you know, most of the time families now, you know, they travel, you know, it's not that hard to get to Lincoln and to come to games here, and you see Big Ten teams, bottom line, you see Big Ten teams recruiting well in the state of Texas, so, you know, it's like we'd be down there alone. There's a lot of talent down there, a lot of people, population's big, so. So, you know, there's more to choose from, obviously, when you're talking about a population base that you're dealing with in Texas.
I found last
No, I thought Alfonso played well. I think he, same thing, I think it was good to get him back out there, and he was excited to get back out there. I thought he played well. Well, he's a competitor. I mean, Alfonso really competes, and I love the way he plays, and he's an integral part of our defense. And you know, he's not only is he a good player, he brings a type of attitude, and he really brings that every day. He just loves to play the game, and I think it shows in the results that he brings.
Bo was ready to get out of there. He didn't give him a chance today. Anything else, guys? You know, we're going to get into what Bo had to say. And if you missed it, he made a comment after practice yesterday about the fans on Saturday. And I don't blame him. Now, again, Steve Sipple was there. And he wasn't the one that initially asked the question, I don't think. But he did follow up. And Sip says, because then Bo did one of his, well, what did you think deals? And we'll let you listen to it. When we come back from break, Sip says, well, you know, it's kind of hard to tell in the press box because you don't get to hear. It's not as loud. It's not as, you know, it just sounds not as good. So you'll hear what he said, and I'm glad that, you know, again, why are we pursuing that? You're right. Bo's right here. Let's talk about football. I'm not going to, you think Bo Pelini's going to sit up there and bash Nebraska fans? Really? Really? Back with more after this.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. You've heard me talking about GoToMyPC, the easiest, most intuitive remote access product available. If you have a Mac, you haven't been able to try GoToMyPC until now. GoToMyPC is now available for Mac users. It lets you remotely access your computer from any other computer. GoToMyPC for Mac was built for Mac users from the ground up. Now you can access your Mac from any other Mac or PC. All you do is go to mypc.com and your desktop instantly appears. With Go to My PC brought to you by Citrix, you can retrieve a file on your office PC from your Mac at home. Use any Mac application from a PC. I want you to go to My PC free today. An exclusive 45-day free trial just for my listeners. Only available if you use the promo code Colin. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the Try It Free button. Remember, use the promo code Colin. Use the promo code Colin.
When I told my buddies my starting quarterback in my fantasy league was going to be Matt Schaub, they all laughed. Well, me and my buddies went to Cunningham's Journal like we do every week, practically the ultimate place for sports fans. You can catch all your players on one of their bajillion screens. Husker football every week, awesome food and drink specials, and the beer so cold. Anyways, we're watching the game on the 10-foot screen. There was Matt Schaub tearing it up, threw for three touchdowns, even ran for one. And guess who's laughing now? So sports fans, there's only one place to be time and time again. That's Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys.
one premium for simplified bill paying, one deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by your local Farm Bureau agents, Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney today at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Here's a look at our Tuesday's forecast as we get on throughout this afternoon, calling for that blend of sun and clouds to develop. We'll also have a slight chance for a nice little rain shower to develop late. High near 52 degrees for tonight, low in the middle 30s, currently 43.
Coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. More from Bo Pelini in just a moment. But don't forget the Doug and Daddy Show on the road Thursday and Friday as we broadcast live at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep. Make sure you ask for the Doug and Daddy Special and get an oil change for only $19.95 with fluid top off and a complimentary pre-winter inspection. Offers only good through November, but you've got to ask for it. The Doug and Daddy Special. Got to ask for it, Daddy. Midway factory trained technicians will be inspecting our cars, my car, your truck, and they'll make sure their vehicles are winter ready. I know you're excited about that.
I am excited. I'm thrilled that they're going to replenish our fluids as well. I'm ecstatic.
That hasn't been a problem for you in a while. We're going to be telling you a lot here over the next few days about Midway and the great deals you're going to find there, like their service centers at both dealerships, because the Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep tire and service centers have factory-trained technicians, meaning you get your car worked on by people that are trained by the same people that built your vehicle. Wouldn't that make sense?
I would think so.
You want chocolate ice cream? I don't know what chocolate ice cream is. Well, there you go. That's what it comes down to, folks. You don't have to mind the wait in their beautiful new facilities featuring courtesy transportation, free Wi-Fi, and a cappuccino coffee bar. What is this, New York City? No. The good guys at Midway are taking care of you. They'll do a free courtesy factory-trained inspection with every job. Come in anytime this month for a price match guarantee on their work and a free pre-winter inspection. The perfect way to find out if your vehicle's ready for another Nebraska winter. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, or online at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way, and we'll be there Thursday and Friday. All right, getting back to Bo Pelini. And highlight that next to last one there, Merritt. Here was Bo's comment after practice yesterday. It's very short.
Yeah, I thought it was dead. I thought it was disappointed. I felt like I was going to do a scrimmage.
Okay. So that's kind of where it goes after that. And here, again, this is the banter back and forth. It's not exciting. Here's what it is.
I guess, yeah.
Why do you think that was?
I don't know. You guys maybe would know better than I was. Maybe they expect. I don't know what the deal was. Next question. I mean, you were all there. What did you think? Were you guys not at the game? What did you guys think?
It's hard telling from the press box.
Yeah.
It is. You can't hear as well.
Anything
else?
There you go. That's what Coach had after a practice yesterday. It was. Two reasons. You know why it was? It was a boring game, and it was cold. Come out and say it. Okay, our offense, Taylor Martinez wasn't busting big plays like we saw earlier in the year. I would think that's explainable. I don't think Bo has to go into it, but that, I mean, if you're looking for one of the good answers to come back with, and he actually answered a couple of questions today, like where does Nebraska need to improve? Ball security, penalties, consistency, instead of saying we got to get better in every area. I mean, he gives the obvious answer. Everybody knows that you got to quit turning the ball over or fumbling it, and just because they lead the nation in fumbles, they don't lead the nation in fumbles lost. But that's still a stat you never want to have. And it's just like, he's right. He was asked about it. It's true. It felt like
a scrimmage.
But it
wasn't a damning statement that you look at.
Nebraska fans know they were quiet. They didn't. There was not a touchdown in the second half. I mean, it's been 4 years since we had to experience that, wasn't it?
Then it was several times.
Yeah, your thoughts on what Bo had to say today?
Well, you know what? I think they ticked him off immediately by trying to delve into that. Then he kind of backed off of it, and then I think he kind of backed off of it, and they got to talking about some football stuff, and I think he answered the questions. And I'm a little bit more surprised. Yeah, they talked about Tannehill instead of Gerard Johnson, the quarterback position, and what he brings. And obviously, I thought maybe they'd bring up Cyrus Gray, the running back, and a little bit more than they did. He's very, very shifty, very, very quick, and people are going to have to stay in their lanes. They're going to have to tackle very, very well. They didn't get into that. No questions really about their defense very much, did they?
Well, they got the number one rush defense in the Big 12 Conference, and Sean Callahan asked him about that. And again, Coach, very basic. Again, I don't think he tries to figure out why the other team's good. They try to figure out how to beat that. And that has been a constant theme on a lot of those types of questions. When asked about the opponent, Bo Pelini never really ever pins anything down. You ask him about the quarterback. Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good football player. He moves the ball around, seems to run well. But he's not going to tell you why. He's not going to tell you what his thoughts are specifically, which I guess is what they're thinking. He doesn't want to divulge anything of what they may have seen in the film room that they're trying to work on for the game. Every once in a while, you'll get a little nugget in there that you can use. So, I mean, yeah, Texas A&M has some things going in their favor. You know what? Let's do Troutman's Tuesday trivia.
That'd be fun.
Let's do it. Let's do it after this break. Ha ha! Back after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Right now at the Home Depot, trade in a string of old Christmas lights, working or not, and get $3 off a brand new string of LED Christmas lights. Choose from a wide selection and keep them on longer without having your electric bill be any higher. We're lowering the cost of keeping Christmas on with $3 off LED holiday lights. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid in U.S. only through November 14th while supplies last. Limit 5 per person. See store for details.
You know what that is? It's the fastest thing known to man. That's the sound of your thoughts and feelings when you're shopping for a car on autotrader.com. Your head wants something practical, but your heart is feeling something sporty. Fortunately, at autotrader.com, your head and heart can now compare new and used cars and even special offers side by side, so they both get what they want. Find the car your head and heart both agree on. Go to autotrader.com, the ultimate automotive marketplace.
When you save 10% on the stuff that you bought, that's at Builders.
Hi, this is Scott from Builders, here to announce our all-new Senior Citizens Day every Tuesday at Builders in Kearney. If you're 65 or over, you qualify for a 10% discount on any in-stock items at Builders. That's every Tuesday, where seniors save 10% at Builders in Kearney. See store for details.
Builders does it best.
$6 will get you two full-size foot-long regular sub sandwiches when you click on buyeasyauction.com. From Subway in Kearney or Grand Island, that's $3 a foot-long, and that's the best price anywhere bar none. Buyeasyauction.com or click on the Easy Auction link at our station website and get Subway for less. But when you log in on buyeasyauction.com, you'll find lots more food items and save on useful goods for around the house, for your car, for your lifestyle.
This week, look for the Big Red Lunch at the Midtown Events Center. Chicken Coop will cater box lunches. We're going to give away 3 pair of tickets to see Ron White on Friday at the Viero Events Center. Columnist Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal Star reviews Kansas and previews the A&M Showdown. Doug and Daddy live at 11, Sip at noon, Wednesday, Midtown Events Center. Just east of the police station, downtown Kearney. Everybody's welcome. Brought to you by Complete Nutrition, Midas, Home Federal Bank, and Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Here's a look at our Tuesday's forecast as we get on throughout this afternoon, calling for that blend of sun and clouds to develop. We'll also have a slight chance for an isolated rain shower to develop late, high near 52 degrees. For tonight, low in the middle 30s, currently 43.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Little Troutman's trivia coming your way. Doug maybe has the hardest question we've ever had on Tuesday Troutman's trivia.
Okay, but I've also got a couple easy ones. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to make it 1, 2, or 3. I'm going to say, do you want question 1, You want question two or you want question three? 888-455-ESPN. Call now. 888-455-3776. And if you get it right, a $25 gift card comes your way to Troutman's Quality Meat, the grill's best friend. Let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Lauren.
Lauren, here we go. You want question one, two, or three?
Let's shoot for two.
Two. Okay. In no particular order. That, I don't think, is the hardest one. Here we go. Who is the last team to beat Nebraska in the month of November?
In the month of November, last team to beat Nebraska would be 9-1.
What do we got, Lauren?
Let's go with Kansas State.
Nope. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. I had three questions here, Daddy. Where's the third one? One, two, and three. Dun, 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 dun. Who are we chatting with?
Andrew.
Andrew, do you want question one, question two, or question three?
Oh, give me the first one.
All right. This former Nebraska quarterback is on the Texas A&M coaching staff.
Oh, gosh. I got nothing on that.
All right, try back, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
Andy.
Andy, what former Husker quarterback is currently on the Texas A&M coaching staff?
I have no idea.
Okay, try back, 888-455-ESPN. How's it going, Daddy?
Well, pretty good. That's a one that I knew.
That was? Okay. Well, who are we chatting with on the Doug and Daddy Show? Back to the phone lines. Who we got?
Nick.
Okay. Who's the last team to beat Nebraska in the month of November?
Texas.
Incorrect. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
Tim.
I don't even know if I want to go to the hard one here, Tony.
It's not, nobody's ever going to get that.
That is so good because we can use it next week, too.
We can use it.
We can use it next week.
We use it for years to come.
Tim, you want question one or two?
How about the quarterback one?
Okay, we'll ask you which team was the last team to beat Nebraska in November.
Oh, Kansas?
Incorrect. Try back. 888-455-3776, 888-455-ESPN. Let's go back to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Jason.
Jason, are you in a cave?
I am.
He's in a man cave. This is actually a Chilean miner. Jason, who's the former Nebraska quarterback currently on the A&M staff?
Good question.
You want to take a guess?
No.
All
I
right.
don't even have an idea.
Try Thanks. Back, buddy. 888-455-ESPN. Let's stay on the phone lines. We got a new one, Tony. Who are we chatting with?
You're chatting with Jim.
Jim, Daddy's got a new question here. What do you got?
What was the last bowl game that Texas A&M played in?
Oh, wow. With the Alamo Bowl?
Oh, that's a great guess. Say, at least you guessed a bowl.
Yep.
You're wrong, but at least you guessed a bowl that a Big 12 team would play in. Try back, 888-455-ESPN.
Like the peach. That's a bad guess.
Yeah, don't.
Bluebonnet. No, that's not a good guess.
Yeah, don't guess the Meineke Car Care Bowl or the Pool and Weed Eater Bowl or the International Bowl. It's none of those. It's not Papa John's. It's not the San Francisco Emerald Nut Bowl either. Let's go back to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Brandon.
Who's the last team to beat Nebraska in the month of November?
Colorado.
No. See, nobody had guessed them yet, I don't think. 888-455-ESPN. Let's go back to the phone lines. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia trying to give away that $25 gift card. Who are we chatting with?
Dan.
You know,
question one.
Which one was question one? You shouldn't request. Daddy, ask him your question.
Well, what bowl game was the last bowl game A&M played in?
Oh, question one.
Got a guess on the bowl game?
It is Zach Taylor.
Well, that wasn't the question. The question is, what was the last bowl game that A&M played in?
Cotton Bowl.
Also a great guess. Wrong. Sorry, Dan. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. Who are we chatting with?
Brandon.
Let's see. Well, Daddy, I already asked him this question, so you ask him yours.
Different Brandon.
Oh, is it different Brandon?
Yes, sir.
Okay, who's the last? Okay, I'll trust you. Who's the last team to beat Nebraska in November?
I'll say Missouri.
No, different Brandon is also wrong. 888-45. Well, it's a dang good thing we didn't ask him the other question because it's unbelievable. Who are we chatting with?
Tim.
Tim is back. Tim, what did we ask you last time?
Last team to beat Nebraska in November.
Okay, we got to ask a different question then. What do we got here, Tony? You going to ask him yours?
What was the last bowl game A&M was in?
And it was just last year.
Yeah.
Holiday Bowl?
It's not the Holiday Bowl.
No.
Because Nebraska played in the Holiday Bowl a year ago.
Yeah, that would have been tough. It's okay. He's flustered. He flustered him out there. Back to the phone line. Who are we chatting with?
Tyler,
who holds the all-time single-game passing record at Texas A&M?
No clue.
Tyler, take a guess.
Gerard Johnson.
No.
No idea.
No. Thanks, Tyler. I had to throw a new one in there. These guys have had plenty of time to look this up, probably. Let's go to the phone lines, 888-455-ESPN. Who are we chatting with?
Brett.
Who holds the single-game passing record at Texas A&M?
Pat Berry.
No. Oh, Pat.
We've lost Daddy. It's over now.
Pat Berry.
Thanks. Thanks, Brett. Who are we chatting with on Troutman's Tuesday Trivia? We've about lost all control. Who are we chatting with?
David.
Oh, David. Who is the former Nebraska quarterback that's on the Texas A&M staff?
Cassidy.
Incorrect. 888-455-ESPN. Let's stay on the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
John,
who's the last team to beat Nebraska in November?
Texas Tech.
We've about got them all crossed off. No, that's not right. 888-455-ESPN. Who's up next?
Nick,
are you going to win?
I hope so.
Nick, who holds the single-game passing record for Texas A&M?
Stephen McGee.
Incorrect. Try back, Nick.
Great guess.
Yeah, it's a great guess. Who we got now? Who we got somebody that's going to get this right? Who's on the phone line?
Keith.
Keith, who is the last team to beat Nebraska in November?
Was it Iowa State?
No, it's not.
God, you know what? That's there. I don't know if it's a great guess or not, but nobody else had guessed it. It's not Iowa State. Oh boy, this is embarrassing. No, it's not embarrassing. It's fun. It's amazing. Was the word I was looking for. Heather Cox will be on the sidelines for the Nebraska-Texas A&M game, just in case. Back to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Willie.
Who holds the single-game passing record for Texas A&M?
How about Tannehill?
That is right! That is right! We have a winner! Willie! The Steelers suck, but Willie got it right! Yes! It is over! Willie, congratulations. Ryan Tannehill, in his first start, broke the Texas A&M passing record for 449 yards against Texas Tech. Willie, hold on the line. We'll get you your $25 gift card to Troutman's Quality Meats. I think some people, that they sit back, they chuckle and go, okay, this is ridiculous. I'm going to call in and get whatever they ask me right. The last team to beat Nebraska in the month of November, Oklahoma, which nobody guessed, November 1st, 2008. Daddy, the last bowl A&M played in?
Independence Bowl, where Georgia took it to them 44-20.
And the former Nebraska quarterback currently on the Texas A&M staff is the man that beat Texas A&M when he threw it to Mo Purify when we were down there in 2007, Zach Taylor. Those are the answers of all the questions we asked Ryan Tannehill.
It's right there in front of your face, people. Right there. Too easy. Sometimes it's too easy. We want to thank all the great folks for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show today. We sure appreciate your emails. Don't forget to email us. You can't fix stupid. And don't make fun of the other listeners. This isn't the Rome Show. You can't make fun of the other clones. You can't fix stupid. Send us your emails. You've got until the show gets to about the halfway point on Thursday, because Thursday we draw for a pair of tickets, front row tickets, to Friday night's Ron White concert. Want to thank Drew Shinnick, head coach of the Tri-City Storm, Bo Pelitti's press conference today. Tomorrow, Rick Squires, UNK volleyball coach, Steve Sipple, our Husker lunch at the Midtown Event Center. That's right south of the Chicken Coop next to the police station. That's where that's located. All that and a whole lot more tomorrow.
Hey, we'll see you 23 hours from now. Doug and Daddy Show. 1460 in Kearney, 1550 up Friends in Hastings. See you then.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.